Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Lowdown. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by the one and only David Clancy, CEO and co-founder of Next Level Group. David, big warm welcome to the show, finally.
Thanks very much, Connor. Yeah, this has been brewing for a couple of years. I've been nagging you trying to get on this pod because I have a lot of time for you, respect what you've done, and you've had some great guests. So happy to be here.
Yeah, and then, you know what? I think an awful lot of that inspiration does come from yourself, but I suppose the question on everyone's lips, how a Clare man and Limerick man came to meet on this pod. I mean, 5 years ago we met on the Leadership Bunker. I mean, I've caught up to date with your own journey, but for those being introduced to you for the first time, Dave, could you give us the run through?
Yeah, and it's funny, the Leadership Bunker. I even have a cap here on that, Connor, because that was such an interesting part of everyone's journey that was involved in that. Like that was a group that just came together over COVID, wasn't it? And we became a big group of friends. But I suppose let's come back to your question, Connor. I started off really being interested in lots of different things in my late, teens. I was kind of interested in lots of different fields from journalism to psychology to medicine, and ultimately physio is where I went because I could get into it. And I was interested in the body, and I had gotten injured enough playing basketball and rugby and all that. And so I kind of followed that journey for for the guts of over 10 years, and that brought me to through the League of Ireland. It brought me through rugby in Ireland. It brought me over to London via Italy, and amazing. And I suppose it's my core speciality, physio, and where that has lent itself to now is me being really interested in relationships and connecting with people. And that's a huge part of being a successful physio. It's not always about treating an injury, it's about treating the person. So funnily enough, over the last 5 to 6 years, I've become a little bit less interested in the injuries per se of athletes and players, but increasingly interested in the people and the environment around those players, and is there a way that I can help them? So, I mean, Next Level Group, what we do, we support teams in terms of recruitment of the staff for the team, but also sometimes we help develop the people that are already there if they don't need a hire. And it's the second thing that really lights me up as well, just getting people to figure out those couple of things that make a difference for them.
And you spoke there multiple different sports, of course, and you spoke about being involved in physiotherapy, sports performance, business. I mean, we've spoken, I mean, off this podcast countless times about the likes of Stephen Kotler's work, hunting between the intersections and curiosity being a huge force multiplier of yours. Obviously, you advise a new cohort of people now in terms of strategic career planning and whatnot, but how much of your journey, Dave, was intentional versus nearly just wayfinding?
It's a great question, and it's funny you've mentioned Stephen Kotler. I think what really helped me think a lot about career direction and strategy and reflection and coming out of the woods, as it was, out of the weeds, was when I came back to Ireland from London, knowing full well I wouldn't be able to replicate the work, the scale, the people per se that I was seeing in London and Dublin. I was just interested in different things, mainly because of reading books and listening to people having conversations. And that brought me into business. I kind of was interested in the business world. And so I took a little bit of a step away from sport for a while and sports medicine. But I also started up, my own podcast, Connor, and I actually interviewed Rian and then interviewed Stephen. And it's from conversations like that that were really different from where I had been and the people I had exposure to the previous 10 to 12 years that got me to think a lot more about what else is out there. And I really think it was those moments, kind of late 2019, 2020, when I started to really think a little more deliberately about where do I want to go? What does success look like for me? What's it like to have a family and build a business? And I started asking myself those questions more and more. And I spent time with executive coaches and had mentoring. And I think it was over that 18 month to 2 year period when I came back to Ireland that I really kind of went through a discovery phase and learned a lot more about really where I wanted to go. And was physio my career or was it going to be something different? And ultimately there's been a bit of physio, but there's been a lot of the different.
And it's interesting. So you speak about an 18-month phase of discovery. In terms of necessarily, do you need that post kind of not career break, but that career transition for something like that to happen? Is it, or I mean, upon hindsight, was that something that you could have built into your daily routine once you were working in physiotherapy?
Yeah, you could have worked, you can work it in. I mean, when I came back from the UK, I went straight into kitting out a brand new sports medicine clinic with a couple of people. And we went straight into the entrepreneurial world, which was different for me. I'd always been employed pretty much. So I understood what it was like then owning your own business. And that forced me to understand business and forced me to read about business and understand what's it like to build one? And that really opened my eyes. But I think to your question, Connor, no, you can set aside a little bit of time. And oftentimes when I'm speaking to people now, and I had a couple of conversations with people today across different European football clubs, and they were just saying, you know, I'm at that time when I'm not sure what's happening in the next couple of months. Do you have any tips? And I'd say set aside a bit of quiet time in a day and just look at where you are, and is that kind of where you want to be? And come back to that every now and then. It doesn't have to be every day, it can be once a week, but just that check in with yourself to see if where you are is where you want to be. And if it's not, how much time and patience can you afford yourself to make a change, or does the change have to be forced? So when I speak to people now, I don't say you need to take a sabbatical or take a 6-month hiatus, but just the importance of reflection and checking in with yourself as to, are you happy? Are you at the space where you're passionate about what you're doing? I think asking yourself those questions on a more regular basis gives you a lot of insight.
And it is that process of reflection, and sometimes it could be on your own, sometimes it could be with Kieran, doing the podcast, sometimes it could be with that interviewee that you have on. But for me, what you've been able to provide over these last few years has been invaluable for the sports industry in terms of providing that slowdown so people can take a pause out of the wash in professional sports and just take some quiet time and be able to engage and listen from some of the world's leading experts, which I know you've had on the podcast. So as someone who does a podcast myself, so I'm well aware of the amount of work that goes into from having the relationship, building it up, the network involved, the research, the production, the editing of the podcast, providing value for everyone. What were some of the key lessons and insights that you personally took away as an individual from the 200 plus episodes which you had, Dave?
It's a great question. And I mean, when we finished at episode 200, and it was a deliberate, we decided to finish there because we were working on something else. And to your point, there's so much work for people out there that are considering a podcast. It's not something that takes 5 minutes. There was so much, Connor. But I think even alluding to Rian and Stephen Kotler as an example, that was a huge moment for my career. Speaking to Rian in the early days years ago, because I'd never heard of flow and peak performance and the intersection of curiosity, passion, purpose. I'd never read The Rise of Superman. I didn't know who Stephen Kotler was. That's one example, but what did that do? It got me interested in writing. So I did the Flow for Writers course with Stephen Kotler. I understood what somatic address meant when you were writing, how you hook and leverage dopamine and all those sort of things. So that came from one example. But then we had another conversation, you know, with Michael Gervais, Finding Mastery, former performance psych for the Seahawks. And he got me thinking about vision and purpose and values and big things that you should know and you should be able to articulate. Like there are two that come to mind. But I mean, I had an event in the Tate a couple of months ago, and one of the most amazing people I took to the stage was Michelle Carney, right? Who was one of the guests on the podcast. So that's an example, as I think the biggest thing the podcast did for me was helped me understand that people are reachable in the world. People that you don't think you can reach, you can reach. And the ability to have open conversations with people is so good. Why would you not do it to learn from one another? I learned so much about everything from, you know, like we said, the importance of reflection to writing, to what's it like working in healthcare settings, to what's it working like in elite sport, to people transitioning from sport to business, to scaling business. So many things. And the biggest thing I still continue to take from the podcast is you have to be curious, and to be curious lends itself to learning. So that nurturing that mindset and how you do it, the podcast did that for me. It made me research people and continuously try to understand what they were doing and ask them better questions. And I keep on leaning into that even now. I mean, I'll pause after this, but I listened to a podcast this week called Change Signal, a new one from a guy called Michael Bungay Stanier, who's been hugely influential in my career. He shaped a course that became a book for us. And his biggest messages for us when he was on our pod was stay curious that little bit longer and beware of the advice monster. And I can remember those from years later. And, he talks now about change management and things like that. So every podcast guest I had, I probably can think of something that I can pull from it, be it a story, be that a practical piece, be that a principle. So, yeah, but the biggest thing is just be curious about other people because you can always learn from someone else. Even if you don't think you can, there's always something to learn.
And what's been pretty cool is to follow, I mean, your own journey within that sense. Obviously, the end of the podcast, you've gone away in 2023 and you've co-founded and set up Next Level Group. And what I love about it is that obviously following your LinkedIn and a lot, and whoever isn't at the moment, please take a look because you're putting out some really, really cool stuff on a daily basis, Dave. But the stuff that you're speaking about is very practical. And it's from learned and both shared experience. We're talking about strategic career plan, having a vision, purpose, writing, interviewing, very, very practical things that you've been through yourself. And could you tell everyone a little bit more about the mission behind Next Level?
The mission behind Next Level is to help people find where potentially their next career opportunity is. The interesting thing about Next Level is our clients are the teams, right? We work for the teams. We help them understand their performance department, their sports medicine department, what they're trying to do culturally and strategically. And then more oftentimes that lends itself to recruitment or headhunting as part of a search process. But the other part of Next Level Group, which you don't get paid for, but is so important, is understanding the people that could be going for those roles and those jobs. So to what I put out on LinkedIn, it's more about that community. It's about people understanding what's out there, how they can position themselves for success, asking themselves those questions to get more clarity on career moves, reflection, navigating moves across sports. Because I can speak to it because I've been there, but also they're the questions that people ask us all the time, right? Like, I'm in Australia, I'd like to move to the Premier League, or I'm trying to transition to a more senior role in the department. I'm not quite sure it's working out because of a new manager. What are your thoughts? So those are the questions we get asked every week. So when we put out content, be that in a newsletter or on LinkedIn, it's trying to help answer those problems. And ultimately, what's interesting too about that is when you have conversations with staff at teams, you get to understand what the team is doing and what they're, where they're going, and that might lead to work for us, right? But that's always a that's a kind of a byproduct of those conversations, a happy byproduct if it happens.
You know what's something very, very peculiar to me is we alluded to earlier on about a certain sports professional, not being sure of what's going to happen at their football club over the next few months. And that's a big thing as a sports professional nowadays, managing that uncertainty. And it's very unique and interesting because the downside, excuse me, is pretty visible. Whilst the upside is unknown, it's pretty invisible. So, for anyone considering their next step or steps, someone who's lived that experience before, what would be some practical tips that you'd have for them?
I think what you said there is really interesting, the invisible, the visible. I think it's scary. I mean, I spoke to someone today who works in a top league in Europe, and he doesn't know what's going to be happening in the next couple of months because of a managerial change. And And we just had a very transparent, frank conversation, and it was hyper practical, and it was, well, how long have you been where you are? How has your position changed, your role changed? And what would it look like if you were to move? Would you like to move to something similar? Would you like to move into a slightly more elevated position? What's it like for you to move from a personal perspective? Is geography an issue? Is sport an issue? So I think if people are navigating what to consider as to a next move potentially, you need to be able to answer those questions. You need to first understand how readily you can move, or are you bringing people with you? Is geography a limiting factor? Does money come into it? When you define career progression for you, how do you define career progression? Do you define it as a more senior position, or is it about a different league? So I think what I'd say is, it's really important to take stock where you are and what you've learned philosophically, practically, strategically, who you've worked with. But then, really come away from that and go, what opportunities are potentially out there? And I mean, a huge thing that I come up to a lot these days, Connor, is people saying, I don't know if I can go there. I'm not sure if that's possible. I've never even worked in that sport. And I'd say, yeah, but a few people have. So try to create proximity to them, study them, or speak to them and ask them how they got there and what did they do to position themselves to get there. Because yes, not many from rugby have made it to elite football, but a few have. So if you're looking at making that sort of a move, identify who those people are. And if you can't get to them, ask someone like us that can make an intro. So at least that gives you a bit more confidence and helps you understand what you need to write on a CV or on a proposal letter so that it gets through a filtering process at a team. So yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to looking at self-limiting beliefs, how you can get a little bit more confident where you are and how you can position yourself for success. Because more often than not, the opportunities that you think are hard to get aren't that hard. It's just not everyone tries to get to them.
And it's very interesting. As spoken with David Cosgrave before,
Yeah. A mutual friend.
yeah, mutual friend and a former guest of the podcast as well, twice. He constantly reminds me of, you can't begin that journey without doing the identity work, as you're alluding to there. What I'm curious to learn a little bit more about that identity piece is, for me, myself, right now, my current capacity, I try and evaluate my actions and my intentions as a leader, as a coach, and as a person. When you're doing this work, Dave, with leaders, with sports professionals, are you following a more segmented approach, or are you viewing that through the lens of the professional?
It's a good question. I suppose where I take it nearly is I'd nearly come back to and circle back to that identity piece, because I think that's really, really interesting. And it's something I keep on thinking about and looking at and having conversations with people about, because do I still identify myself as a physiotherapist, as an example? Or how do I introduce myself to a team or prospective client or a friend? Is it I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a physio, I'm a business owner, I'm a recruiter, I'm a L&D guy? And you know what's really interesting? That whole concept of are you a specialist in one area, or are you a polymath or a generalist across those of different disciplines because of interests? And I had a conversation with Phil Glasgow a couple of months ago at the IRFU, who, if you have, you mentioned my LinkedIn, for those of you who don't know Phil Glasgow, check out Phil Glasgow. Although he's so humble, he won't even put stuff out there half the time. But there's a man that really schooled me up recently on, we had a conversation on generalism and specialism, and he spoke about this concept of neo-generalism and how, you don't have to be fixed on identity. It doesn't have to walk with you all the time. It can change depending on context or environment. I hope I got that right, Phil. But I think that's really interesting because, I worked in the business world with C-suite and managing directors of med tech, pharma, large manufacturing companies. And did I go in as a physio into those conversations when I was delivering workshops? I didn't. I went in as a founder and director of a business. So it was a different sort of conversation. It was a different introduction. It was a different history and story I shared. Was similar, if I'm working with a sports team, it might be a blend of sports medicine or something else. So I think I didn't fully answer your question there, Connor, but when you said identity, I just think that's a really big thing because it came up again yesterday with another conversation with someone said, I'm a strength coach. I've always been a strength coach. So how could I go for that? And I went, I think you're missing something. There's more to you than just you identifying yourself as a strength coach. What else have you achieved? Look at the three or four biggest milestones in the last 18 months, put them on paper. That'll speak to more than just you being an S&C guy. And it was a total reframe. And I suppose what that will do is it will give that person confidence in knowing that they can look and explore other opportunities outside their lane. So I just kind of wanted to share that a little bit different to maybe what you asked, but I think it's important also because it's something I circle back to all the time, kind of what's our baseline area of expertise, but what other areas of expertise do you have that can be beneficial at a specific point in time?
I love that term, neo-generalism, because, hearing you describe and explain a little bit more seems to me an overlooked skill is just being present and a concept of awareness. And I was listening a bit to Alain Dubatin, School of Life, recently, and it was really, really interesting how he broke down the Western world and Eastern world in terms of paintings. Spoke about, like, the Western world, when paintings are made there and put out to the public, it's more of an interaction in terms of to the consumer. The consumer decides what they think about, whereas the Eastern version of that is it's a collaboration. It's inviting you to have that conversation or have a consensus, or sorry, not have a consensus, but to go back and forth with the artist in terms of what that mural or painting means to you. And I find so often, we speak about knowledge, but experiences, having lived that knowledge, and there's something to be said for going through that. I hope you know what I'm getting at here. It's just being able to have a better reading of the situation, being able to trim the fat before going in with that clear mind. And I don't think there's enough emphasis being put in that, especially with you look at the way of the sporting industry now. It's just this blend of business, multiple different cultures, the TV money and everything. It's really unique and fascinating to me.
And I think what I'd add to what you said, and yeah, school of life, really interesting. There's so much projection out there of expectation as to what someone should be because of a title. And that then affects people's perception of that person and biases of that person and behaviors and how they turn up in an operating sort of place. So I just think, again, if people are listening to this, that little piece on Eastern Western art, but like as a takeaway of this conversation, just get people to. You're more than maybe what you would be on a business card. There's so much more to our stories and like what Connor said there about lived experiences, because that's been a huge part of where of the journeys and the rabbit holes that I've kind of followed through over the last couple of years. I've just had a moment and I've explored it, not always by deliberate reflection, but kind of gone through it and come out the other side. And what have I taken from that? Some good, some bad, some ugly. But how will that shape me moving forward? And I think we all go through those milestones or crucible moments all the time, and they'll always shape us. So that I think, I'm doing a session next week for a baseball team, and I'm going to start with like what I'm going to say hopefully helps, but everyone is different here. Find what works for you because you all have your own story and you've all gone through your own moments. And I think that's something we should keep on thinking about.
You speak about crucible moments. I mean, a huge one last October, I was unfortunate and saddened to miss, was the Essential Skills event that you had at the Tate Modern in London. And I'd love you to open up a bit more about that, over the book, the series of lessons contained in the book, the premise, and where the funds of the book go, because I think it's a monumental part of your own journey to here, David.
Yeah, well, that was one of those moments, right? It kind of, I think it started with, there was two moments that collided 4.5, 5 years ago when, I had a daughter born with Down syndrome and lots of cardiac issues and respiratory issues, little Grace. And that opened my eyes to another world of what's inclusion, what's diversity, what's empowerment, what's charity, what's supporting other initiatives. So that's one thing. But then, along with my journey of exploring sports medicine and business and the intersections of the curiosities, I saw that people who were successful that were really good at the soft skills. That's what I was admiring in others, admiring in my dad, admiring in my mom, my wife, my best friends, and saying, they're all really good at these things. That's what I need to study. And so a culmination of those two factors basically created a course, which, all proceeds went to good places. It became a book with about 60 people involved in it, and I was a small part of it. But then, yeah, I mean, Connor, I had to do more with it, right? Because I wanted more of a platform to bring people together to talk about these themes and topics that I feel aren't spoken about or taught enough across multiple domains, but also creating that space again to put funds to good places selfishly. So that event in the Tate was pretty special. It was special because of the energy in the room and the people in the room. People gave their time, added value. There were some amazing conversations. I even got I even get emotional now thinking about it, because just the atmosphere that I think was created for those couple of hours was, I'm not going to say it was unique, because I haven't been to all the events in the world, but there was something in the room, and I want to continue to nurture that. So for those of you listening, that was the start, but there'll be another one. We had to bring it back to Ireland. So there's going to be one in Ireland in October. I'm not going to say it's going to be bigger and better, but hopefully it'll be bigger and better, and different, but with the same sort of philosophy of, putting a stamp on a day to bring great people doing great things together in one room, to have that kind of shared knowledge capture, but also knowing full well that you're supporting a book and or money donated to charity, because that's a huge purpose driver behind it for me as well.
Unbelievable. And again, look forward to hearing what's more to come, the
Yeah.
next event, and I'll attach all relevant links, including to the book below, because I think it is for an unbelievable cause. But I mean, as we wrap up, and I hope this proceeds a part two, of course, David, but I mean, as you know, I'd be with the end in mind, asking for advice. You said earlier on, working with different groups, find out what works best for you. But for anyone looking to find themselves within the sporting industry and enjoy a long, illustrious career, what would be the bit of practical advice you'd have for them?
I often talk about finding three or four people on a Mount Rushmore, right? Let's call it, Mount Rushmore. For people that don't know what that is, Google Mount Rushmore, of people you admire. And they can be in within your domain or industry or outside it, but ask the questions as to why. Like, why do you like, what is it about this person? Is it the person's books, content, how they speak, how they show up? What is that? And study them. And I think that will help inform, we often talk about where it's the people we spend our time with, right? That circle of five help influence how you show up in the world. So you can be kind of deliberate with that. And I think that will help shape where you're trying to go. So people start to look at you in that sort of vein. I think that's something I often say to people, that, I continuously look at the three or four people that I admire, and why do I admire them, and what couple of pieces from them can I take to help continuously shape me to get better? And I think just keep looking at what you're doing and where you are, and is it part of where you want to be going? And it's okay to say, I think so, or I'm not sure. That's an okay answer. But if you keep on checking in and you're not quite thriving, or you're not happy, or you don't feel you're able to do your best work, you need to dig deeper and try to understand why. So, I talk a lot about journaling with staff I work with. I wish I was a little bit better at it myself, but I try to do it most days and it helps me understand my thinking. It does help me find some stillness and slow down from the busyness and intensity of sport. And just to go, am I doing a good job? Am I working where I want to be? Or is there something else? And I think you need to keep do I think you need to keep doing that. I mean, I wish someone said that to me when I was 23, 24. I kind of had to kind of follow it myself. I had to kind of figure it out for myself, you know? But I think that would be hyper practical and hyper useful. And yeah, just keep asking yourself hard questions, you know, uncomfortable questions. And that's in relation to everything and anything, you know?
David Clancy, thank you so much for joining me today. Finally, at long last, some Munster representation on the show.
Cheers, Connor. We didn't get to talk hurling. That will be for part two because that could have been an awkward one, right? And not everyone knows hurling, but